Guess where I have my Bible open to?
Philippians.
Why don't you join me in Philippians right now? For the moment. Join me in Philippians.
Let's see. It's in the New Testament.
And I want to ask you to do something as we begin here now, okay? We're open to Philippians, and probably some of us in the classroom, when we open to the book of Philippians, have a well-marked Bible. I love to mark my Bibles, every Bible that I have. I love to mark my Bibles, okay? I'll leave you one of them in my will that you can enjoy. And many of you have unmarked Bibles. You prefer that. And that's fine. But here's what I want you to do. We're in Philippians right now, right? I want you, just in the silence of the next moment or two, to find a verse in Philippians that uses the word joy or rejoice or glad, something like that, and put your finger on it, okay?
Let's see.
Have you found one yet?
Yes.
You did. You know what? Find another one. Did you find another one? You did. Find yet a third. A third one. I have to confess to you, I kind of cheated. I mean, I didn't cheat really, but it's kind of cheating for me because in this Bible of mine, I have every time the word joy and rejoice and glad occurs marked in red with a red colored pencil. And it is so in every one of my Bibles. This is not really a difficult thing to do because joy pervades Paul's epistle to the Philippians. You will notice that the sheet that I've given to you has as its title up at the top, Philippians, be glad and rejoice with me. Actually, we will find those very words, be glad and rejoice with me, in the epistle. I think that's a very good addition to the masthead at the top of the page. And then underneath of that, there's a chain which is broken. We'll have to see what that has to do with as time goes by here. But this is a wonderful epistle. I think a favorite epistle by many, many, many people. And understandably so, because some of our favorite verses are from this book. They are. Philippians 4:13 among them. So where do we start in our study of the book of Philippians? Well, I'll tell you what. We have to backtrack in our Bible. So let's flip back some pages here and go to the book of Acts. And we'll arrive in the book of Acts at chapter 16. Going backward, we arrive at chapter 16. And while you're backtracking to there, let me just reiterate to those of you who came in from choir, if you needed any pages from previous Pilgrim's Progress lessons, I have them set out on tables. This from part one of Pilgrim's Progress, Christian's Journey, and this from part two of Pilgrim's Progress, Christiana's Journey. And my intention is that what is not picked up today goes the way of all extraneous papers. Well, I'm in Acts chapter 16, and I'll tell you what. If I flip one page over, going backward once again, I come to chapter 15, and chapter 15 is Luke, the author of Acts, Luke, the beloved physician. It is Dr. Luke's account of what popularly is referred to as the Jerusalem Council, a convening of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem to discuss a very significant issue that related to Gentiles and how Gentiles come to faith. It was an extremely important thing. Then, if you backtrack just a little bit more from there, and you come to chapters 13 and 14 in the book of Acts, when we come to chapters 13 and 14, we read the account of what is very commonly referred to as Paul's first missionary journey. We're familiar with the fact that Paul went out on three missionary journeys. At least that's traditionally the way it's counted. I think we can actually identify a fourth missionary journey in the latter chapters of Acts, but traditionally his three missionary journeys. In Acts chapter 13, he and Barnabas leave from the city of Antioch. This is Antioch on the Orontes River, or Antioch in Syria, not to be confused with another city named Antioch, which was in Pisidia, or nearby Pisidia, in relative proximity to the cities of Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. But Paul left from Antioch in Syria with Barnabas and launched out on missionary journey number one. That is accounted for us. The details of it are in chapters 13 and 14. It's not our purpose to review all that. Then we come to chapter 15, and it's kind of an interlude between the first missionary journey and the second missionary journey, and that's the Jerusalem Council. Then at the end of the Jerusalem Council, before chapter 15 is all finished, in the very last words of the chapter, we find that Paul launches out on missionary journey number two. So early on, let's start reading in Acts chapter 15 in verse 41, the last verse. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, and we read a little bit more about Timothy. It's not our purpose to look at that today. But Timothy was apparently, putting facts together, Timothy was apparently an individual who had come to Christ when Paul was in Lystra on missionary journey number one. We don't find anything specifically said about that in Acts chapter 14, but when you put other details together, like the way that he refers to Timothy in his two letters to him, it seems pretty clear that Timothy was one to Christ on Paul's first missionary journey. When Paul comes back to Lystra, maybe as much as a couple years later, he finds this disciple, this young disciple, who Paul says, I want to take with me as an assistant. And this is where Timothy joins with him. But come to verse 6, and this is where we really, really start things now. Chapter 16 and verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Well, that's the background for the start of the study of Philippians. It may not appear to be so yet, or on the surface, but the call to come to Macedonia, the divine call to come to Macedonia, is what will finally issue in Paul writing a letter to the church in Philippi. Now, look at the introduction. You might say, I got into the lesson before looking at the introduction. Let me ask you this question, number one. Name three things that you carefully plan for. What can you think of, Daniel?
Three things I wrote, Brother Bobby: serving, missions, and travel.
Serving, missions, and travel. And Daniel's about to launch out on a missionary journey, and there have been a lot of details to plan for, right, Daniel?
Yes.
Very good. Very good answer. Anybody think of anything else? Things that you plan for.
Charities.
What's that?
A party.
A party. Okay. You plan. Make all kinds of plans for that. Jared?
Before I homeschooled my girls, there was a lot of planning.
A lot of plans in anticipation of it, huh? Yes. Very good. What else? Brian, I see you smiling there. You got one in your mind. What is it?
Retirement.
Retirement. All right. Good. Good. Very good. Yep. Do I have anything else?
Meals.
Meals? Ah, meal plans. Yes, very good. Very good. Libby?
I have to say, death and final arrangements.
Yeah, death and final arrangements, which is a thing that a lot of people avoid at all possible costs. You know, talking about that even. It's difficult to begin talking about those subjects to our parents, you know. It is. Larry?
Yeah, I was just going to say, she said end times, that what she was talking about?
Yeah, I mean, end of lifetime,
more specifically. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Make sure you think of trust instead of will, please.
Ah, okay. Yeah. You all hear that? Talk to Larry after class. Jeff, you have anything? No. You know what? The small groups, the small fellowship groups began meeting, we met twice now. And in our small group that meets, the CSFC, as I've nicknamed us, FC and a lot of little shields represents football club around the world, but I've named it the Carver Smith Fellowship Community and designed a little patch for us. But planning, somebody in our group is going to get married in a couple weeks. Yeah, a lot of plans have gone into that one. Somebody else in our group is going to have a baby in what, a couple months, Helen? I don't remember what the due date is. In June. So there are certainly plans going on for that. You know, planning to teach in just a little bit more than a week. I'm going to be addressing a ladies group that have been involved in a Bible study for a year, the Karen Davis Bible Studies. And I've talked to them probably three or four times in the past and enjoyed them. And I'm going to meet with them again. And I've been working a whole lot. That's probably where most of my time is going for the last week in preparing for that. One more thing, and then we'll come to the next part of this. Whenever I do calligraphy work or lettering work, believe me, planning is an important part of that. It is an important part of it. The planning sometimes takes more time than actually doing the final project. Number two, have you ever had to alter those plans due to some unforeseen reason, like taking a trip or things like that? Have you ever had to alter plans? I think probably we all have. We all have. What changes the plans that we've made? Sometimes health changes that. Sometimes sickness can intervene. Boy, how many plans were changed? You know, in a sense, it seems like so many years ago, but it really wasn't that many years ago with COVID. Yeah, how many things changed? And in our world, some things are still in that changed state, you know? Really. How many things changed after 9/11? The way we travel through airports and everything changed. It did. Yeah, you know, one of the most astounding stories to me that I saw in the news was this guy, Helen, where was this guy arrested? I think he was overseas somewhere. They found bullets in his luggage. And Helen immediately said, how in the world did he get through security to make the first flight? And that's under investigation right now, and probably some heads are going to roll on that. But plans change. What was your attitude when you had to change plans? Yeah, I gave you three choices there. I hope nobody circled the last one. Although some people get really ticked off when they have to change their plans, don't they? Yeah. Anybody circle the smiley face there? You know, probably we tend more to the middle two. Not the bomb. Well, let's get into the specifics of our lesson. Lesson number one, when plans change. Number one, plans for a second missionary journey. Summarize as briefly as possible. And may I say to you, we are back at the note-taking stage. I somehow was talked out of this back a while ago, but we're back to the note-taking stage. Does anybody need a pencil or anything? Anybody unequipped to be able to write notes? Or you don't have to write the notes. You don't have to.
Question.
Yes, Larry.
Where does it say in the scriptures, and I can't remember where it is, that says, do not make any plans unless you say, if the Lord wills.
Ah, can anybody answer Larry on that one? We're not going any further till we answer that question. James is correct. You guys, I want you to put your finger on the verse in James, okay? See if you can get your finger there first. I got my finger on it right now. Larry, in James chapter 4, and what verse, you guys?
15.
Chapter 4 and verse 15, Larry. That's very specifically where it is.
Yes, there it is.
Vicky, star on your chart this morning.
Yes. Thank you.
All right.
Still in the hole. Seriously.
All right. Summarize as briefly as possible. Where had they gone? Here's the way I would summarize that as briefly as possible. Cyprus is the first answer. Now spell that C-Y-P-R-U-S. That's for the island, not the tree. Cyprus and South Galatia. In just two little designations, the second designation being two words, in those two little designations, you summarize the first missionary journey. They first went to the island of Cyprus and ministered on the eastern end and then the western end. And then they sailed northward to the southern coast of what we call Turkey today, and they ministered in South Galatia. Very specifically, places named Perga in Pamphylia and Pisidian Antioch and Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. So that's missionary journey number one. What had they accomplished on that missionary journey? Well, I'll tell you what. Dr. Luke gives us a report, I think, in few words, as to what they had accomplished, and it's found in chapter 14 and verse 27. It's kind of like what we would call the missionary report that Paul gave when they came home from the first missionary journey, when they returned to the church in Antioch that had sent them out. And here's the way it's put in chapter 14 and verse 27. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Now, where specifically did that begin or whatever? Well, you know, the best suggestion I could make in that regard would be on the island of Cyprus when they came to the western end, and one of the individuals that Paul declared the gospel to and saw come to know Christ was a man named Sergius Paulus, who was a proconsul there, a government authority. That's the story of Sergius Paulus and Elymas, or Bar-Jesus the sorcerer, and all that. But it's wider than just one person. God begins to open the door of faith to the Gentiles. And wow, how many of us have gone through that door, the door of faith for the Gentiles? I think most of us in here, if not all of us, right? All right, second bullet. Give two reasons why plans were being discussed for a second missionary journey. Well, the first of them is to see how the brothers are. In other words, Paul was doing follow-up work. to see how the brothers were doing, brothers and sisters, see how the brethren were doing that had come to Christ on missionary journey number one. And then second of all, and I think the wording that Paul uses in the latter part of Romans chapter 15 is a good way to put it here. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 20, Paul says, to read the last part of the previous verse, he says, so that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And here's verse 20. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named. That is, it was Paul's desire to carry the gospel to places that had never heard the gospel yet. Is that work still going on in the world today? Can you imagine that there are people in this world who have never heard of Christ yet? You know, there's sort of a famous quote. I don't know whether I'll even be able to quote it accurately, but with regard to the evangelization, and I can't even give you the years of this, it'd be in the 1800s, when Africa was being evangelized, and one of the individuals said, I have seen the smoke of 1,000 villages where Christ has not even been made. So great was the work that was before them in the evangelization of Africa. Well, it's hard to believe that here we are in, 2024, and a world that's been invaded by so much technology, in that we would be able to go to some of the most remote places in the world, and we'd find people with cell phones there. True? We would find people with cell phones. We would be able to go to some of the remotest places in the world, and believe it or not, we'd find a satellite dish there. Yeah, not everywhere, but there are still some places. But let's keep going here now. Third bullet, the missionary travelers. Well, on this missionary journey number two, there are four names that we're going to list down this column. And obviously the first name is Paul. The second name that we want to list is Silas. Paul, Silas. The third name that we're going to list is the name Timothy. Remember, Paul came back to Lystra and he found that young disciple who had a good report of all the brethren there. And Paul said, I want to take Timothy as my assistant. So Timothy is the third one. Anybody like to take a guess at who the fourth one will be? His name has only four letters. His name has been mentioned in class. He was a doctor. It was Luke. Yeah, Luke joins the missionary team in the course of this. So I have a couple notes with regard to these things. Paul, who replaced, well, under previous person, you can just draw a line across there. Paul didn't replace Paul. Paul wasn't replaced here. But Silas replaced, here's the second name in your right-hand column, Barnabas. Barnabas. Why did Silas replace Barnabas? Could anybody tell me why that happened?
Was this a disagreement about Mark going?
Libby, perfect answer. Perfect answer. When they were anticipating missionary journey number two, Paul says, we want to go back and visit the brethren who have come to know Christ. And the name of John Mark came up. And there were two individuals, namely Paul and Barnabas, who didn't see eye to eye about taking Barnabas on missionary journey number two. And listen, about taking John Mark on missionary journey number two. Barnabas said, let's take him. Now, Barnabas had some stock in it because Barnabas and John Mark were cousins, according to Scripture. Paul, however, adamantly said, no, we're not taking him, because John Mark had left them. You read about that account in the latter part of Acts chapter 13. When he came to Perga and Pamphylia, John Mark went back to Jerusalem. So Paul and Barnabas couldn't see eye to eye on that point. I mean, two good men, two good godly men, And so Silas replaced Barnabas. Timothy? Who do you think Timothy replaced? I think we can write John Mark. Timothy replaced John Mark. Here's the young man now who will take John Mark's place. And trust me, John Mark, although he was a kind of a bone of contention between Paul and Barnabas at this point, John Mark, in the course of time, is going to be, dare I say, highly valued by Paul. That's an understatement. One of the very last things that Paul says when he is urging Timothy to come to him to see him before he dies, Paul's a prisoner in Rome, he's urging Timothy to come before winter, and he says, bring Mark with you, because he's profitable to me for ministry. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. So in the notes here, note number one, where was he from? Now, note number one goes with what name? Silas. You know where he was from? The Jerusalem church. Silas was from the Jerusalem church. Number two, where's the box for that one? Barnabas. Was there a relation over? That is the relation between Paul and Barnabas? No, no, no. And you can write a reference in that blank since no doesn't occupy the whole space. You can write this little reference, Colossians 4:10. Colossians 4:10 is certainly an evidence that their relationship wasn't over. And number three, who's number three go with? It goes with Timothy. Why did Paul want to take him? Well, one of the ways I think we can answer this, here's the way I'd like to put it. He had great references. That is, Timothy had great references. All the brothers in that area had a great report to give about Timothy. All right, let's go to the next page. Do you think this involved a change in his plans, and who's the antecedent of his here? On top of the word his, you can write Timothy. Do you think this involved a change in Timothy's plans? I think most likely, most likely. I don't think Timothy had a dream of, going anywhere but staying in Lystra, his hometown. What had to be done before he was taken, that is, before Timothy was taken? Again, we have to backtrack into earlier verses in chapter 16, which I did not read. But in one word, the answer is circumcision. Circumcision. Timothy was an individual who had a believing Jewish mother and grandmother, but had an unbelieving Gentile father. And so Paul saw that the matter of circumcision was an expedient thing to remove any kind of hindrance that might come up in the ministry of the gospel. Certainly, Paul did not require Timothy to be circumcised as a requirement for salvation, not at all. You know, that's like saying somebody has to be baptized to really be saved. No, baptism is a mark of obedience, but it's not a necessity for salvation. Does this indicate an inconsistency in Paul? I would say no, no. It's for expediency in ministry. For expediency in ministry. And now, the number four, and who does number four refer to here? Number four refers to John Mark, so let's make a statement on him. Is this the end of their relationship? No. See Colossians 4:10. Colossians 4:10 and 2 Timothy 4:11. That's the passage where he desires for Timothy to bring John Mark with him. And then finally, who is this mystery person for number five? It is Luke. It is Luke. And the little question, how do you know? Do I have a verse in Acts that I can put my finger on that says Luke joined them? You know what? I don't, but I'll tell you what I can put my finger on. See if you can detect this now. I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to again read beginning in verse 6. Now, listen very carefully. Listen. Listen so carefully that it's like we're in English class now. Okay? And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You know what all of a sudden occurred in the last verse that I read? The little personal pronoun "we" came in there. Instead of it all being they, now it's "we," because the author of this book has joined them. And it's very interesting when you read from that point onward in the book of Acts, there are some passages, and this being one of them, and further on into latter part of chapter 16, when the author who is writing this account, namely Dr. Luke, uses the personal pronoun to describe, to kind of indicate his presence with Paul. Now, scholars have given a name to this phenomenon. Scholars come up with some amazing names for things. You know what the name is for this phenomenon? The "we" passages. That's the name. W-E, not W-E-E. The "we" passages. That's the name they've given to this. Okay? All right. Number two, early progress on the second missionary journey. Initially, they went through Syria and Cilicia. Initially, Syria and Cilicia. Second bullet, as they traveled to Derbe and beyond, they delivered the apostolic decree. The apostolic decree, which is the decision that was made by the leaders of the church at the Jerusalem Council. They delivered the apostolic decree. Third bullet, the early results. The churches were strengthened in the faith. The churches were strengthened in the faith. Chapter 16 and verse 5 indicates that. So the churches were strengthened in the faith. And then the second line you can write, they increased in numbers daily. They increased in numbers daily. The church was growing. The church was growing. So I would say things are going great, wouldn't you? To be sure. Next bullet. According to their plans, apparently the next stop would be... Now the next stop, you can answer this question in a single four-letter word that begins with an A. And what is it?
Asia.
Asia. Asia. Now, having said Asia, that's the right answer to put in here. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word Asia?
China.
Yeah, the Orient. That is a popular thought to connect with that. But when the term Asia is used here, it is used to designate the Roman province of Asia. Where was the Roman province of Asia? It was kind of the western one-third of what we call Turkey today. And I tell you, there's a very, very prominent city. Have I been to Asia in that sense? I have.
Florida.
Now, where were you in Asia, Larry?
I was in Izmir.
Izmir. Okay, very good. You know anybody in Izmir now? Yeah, you do.
We have our missionaries.
That's right. Mark and Mandy are there.
Yeah.
So, did your ship stop there and you were able to visit there?
There twice.
That is pretty cool.
We flew over Turkey eating a turkey wrap.
I think you guys maybe should put that in your notes somewhere today. You know, that might be one of the... Libby, that's classic. That is a classic.
Of course. Then now Turkey wants to be spelled T-U-R-K, I guess the original way, that T-U-R-K-I-Y-E.
Oh, wow. That's the way they do it in Turkey?
It's in Turkish.
Yeah. Wow. Let's go on in our notes here. So, for the fourth bullet, we have Asia, meaning the Roman province of Asia. How did they get there? How did they get there? Did they get there? Why or why not? You know what the answer is? No. No. Why or why not? They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. How did the Holy Spirit forbid them from getting to Asia? I do not know. We're not given details of this here. I mean, I can picture in my mind, and if I were doing PowerPoints for this one, I probably would have included some sort of a roadblock, you know, that we find where construction is going on or whatever. But how did the Holy Spirit forbid this? Perhaps a special communication to Paul? I don't know. I wouldn't want to rule that out, you know, or inclining Paul's mind. But they didn't go to Asia. The Holy Spirit forbid it. So they revised their plan. The revised plan will now focus on Bithynia. Bithynia. So they're traveling across present-day Turkey. Their sights are set on Asia, and no doubt the city of Ephesus, which was located there, the chief seat of Asia. But the Holy Spirit says no. So they revised the plans to go northward. And Bithynia is on the south coast of the Black Sea. They didn't get there. Did they get to Bithynia? No. No. Again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Again, they have a divine roadblock preventing them from getting there. Do you think that Paul had difficulties with or wrestled with this change of plans? Well, you know what? I see Tommy shaking his head yes, and Tommy, I would agree with you on that, although I have to put a question mark in parenthesis there. I think so. One of the things that I've emphasized, I'm sure, in years past, and it comes from this very passage that we're looking at here, and it comes from the remarks of one of the great commentators on the book of Acts, Frederick Fivey Bruce, F.F. Bruce is the way he's more popularly referred to, and F.F. Bruce said that two great characteristics are found in Paul. Number one, he was a strategic planner. Paul didn't leave on his missionary journeys and just say, all right, guys, we're leaving and we'll see where we go to next, you know, and it'll happen when it happens. No, I can see Paul with the maps spread out on the table and praying this through. The number one characteristic, or the first characteristic, is that Paul was a strategic planner. But the number two is he had a keen sensitivity to the direction of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit puts up some roadblocks right here, Paul says, I see the roadblock, and I'm not going to charge through. I'm not going to bullheadedly say, hey, I've made my plans to go to Asia, and I'm going to get to the city of Ephesus. One way or another. No, Paul stops and he submits his plans to God. In answer to that whole thing, do you think that Paul had difficulties with or wrestled with this change of plans? I would kind of guess yes. And why would I say that? Because Paul was human. Paul was human. Paul was human. So where to next? Well, the simple answer would be Troas. But I've made my answer a little bit longer, Alexandrian Troas. Apparently there's more than one Troas, but Alexandrian Troas. Now, I've been to Alexandrian Troas. Alexandrian Troas is very close to, and this is a famous name from ancient history, the city of Troy. The city of Troy. The ruins in the city of Troy are fascinating. Fascinating, as you might expect. Troy was a real place. It wasn't just a storybook place. But Paul changes plans to go to Alexandria, Troas. What happened there? When Paul was in Troas, the Macedonian vision occurred. The Macedonian vision. And it's just very simply, verse 9, of Acts chapter 16, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. That's the Macedonian vision. How did Paul respond to this? Immediate preparations. Immediate preparations. Immediate preparations to go. Who has just made an unobtrusive appearance? Dr. Luke, with a little pronoun, we. How do you know that? The first we passage in Acts 16:10. The first we passage in Acts 16:10. Well, changes of a mostly unpredictable sort, it seems, have affected several individuals in the passage that we've been looking at today. How these individuals have reacted has been instructive for us. God has been instructing us about dealing with change. Some of us, or should I say most of us, have a difficult time with change. However, in many respects, change is inevitable. Based on what we have seen in today's passage, lists three important lessons on how to deal with change when we face it. You know, when our plans change, it may well be that God has a better plan. as well as we have tried to make our plans and everything, when plans change, often it's because God has a better plan. A second thing is, knowing that God's plan is perfect should cause us to be thankful. You know, his better plan is actually better than my plan. It's a perfect plan. And that should make us thankful. And number three, when I make my plans, I must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit too. Larry, in that verse that you brought up early on, what was the reference now? James?
James 4:16.
If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. If the Lord wills. Well, where do we go from here? You know, Acts 16 and verse 12 says, and from there to Philippi. So Paul gets to Philippi, and we'll arrive in Philippi next week, Lord willing. Lord willing. What is there between now and then? Well, God knows. God knows. Will we have to change any plans this week? I don't know. Any last words from you, dear people? Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is so, so practically instructive to us. Lord, especially when we think in terms of the kind of prevailing theme in today's lesson, and that is making plans and having to change our plans. That was the case with Paul. And that change of plans is about to bring him to the city of Philippi and to bring the gospel to Philippi. And Lord, we'll read the account of three very remarkable conversions when Paul gets there. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Lord, bless each one who's here today, Lord. And bless those who would like to be here but are not here today. I pray that you'd help them with whatever the situation might be. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name.